The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. What is a true Christian? How do you define true Christianity? There are so many so-called Christians professing to practice Christianity, but are they really doing so? And they're all over the world, in many different nations, coming from many different cultures. How can we know for sure what a true Christian is, and are they really living out true Christianity in their lives? It is one thing to carry around the label of Christian, and another thing altogether to actually be a true practicing Christian every day, all the time. There's a big difference in the two. The correct answers to these all-important questions will not come from scholars, intellectuals, or opinions from anyone else. They'll tell you what they think, but they can't tell you what a true Christian is of and by themselves. It's just their opinion. It's just their idea. You won't find the right definition of Christianity in dictionaries, commentaries, or other religious sources alone. They might have some information that is good and that is even partially true. But the only dependable and accurate original explanation of true Christianity practiced by true Christians can be found in only one place, and that is God's Word, the Holy Bible. There you will find the definition of Christianity and true Christians that will be 100% accurate, and that definition will come from God through His Holy Word. That's the first and final word on this subject. Go get your Bible and follow along and see for yourself what God's Word has to say about this subject of true Christians that practice true Christianity. First, I think a little background would be very, very helpful. So let's turn to Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. It's a very, very interesting scripture here and a very important one on this subject of Christianity. Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. Here's what we read. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. That was Barnabas and Saul, or Paul. And notice what it says here. They assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That's the first time in the Bible you will find the word Christian used. That's where it came from. It was an unknown word before it was used here in Antioch describing the disciples of Jesus Christ. They were called Christians. But what are Christians? And what is Christianity? Let's notice another place where this subject is addressed here in God's Word. Let's turn to Acts chapter 26 and verse 27. This is the account of Paul being brought before King Agrippa, and he gave a good account of himself, of the way of life he was living now called Christianity, and of his belief in Jesus Christ and of living life as a Christian. And look how effective and powerful his testimony was to this king. Notice here in Acts 26 and verse 27, Paul said, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that you believest. Verse 28, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. You have almost convinced me to live that way of life called Christianity and to become a Christian. You almost persuaded me. That's how powerful and convincing Paul was to this king, because Paul was so convicted about Christianity. And what did Paul say to the king then? Verse 29, Acts 26. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. I wish everybody was a Christian, Paul said, and lived the way of Christianity. That's what I'm doing. I wish everyone else would too. Paul was telling this king to become a Christian was to live life a certain way, generally referred to as Christianity. He was talking about the way of life that he wished the king would embrace and that all who hear this message would follow as well. This message of true Christianity, found in God's Word and found in Paul's testimony to King Agrippa. Verse 28, the word Christian is used. Now let's go to another place where we find this word, over here in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12, the Apostle Peter, the chief apostle in the day of the New Testament church, inspired by God, wrote this, and it was preserved even down to our day. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch or to the extent that, as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. For if you be reproached or insulted for the name of Christ, happy are you, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, or even blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But on their part he is evil spoken of. Verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters, a gossip, a meddler. Don't ever let that be named among true Christians. None of those evils should be a part of the life of a true Christian. And if you suffer for being those evil things, then you're just suffering the consequences of wrong actions. But he goes on to say, yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf, or in this matter. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Now, if you carefully study this passage in Peter, you're going to realize that the Christian way of living can bring rejection and pain and suffering from others who are ignorant of it or who hate it. Sooner or later, along with the blessings and the joy and the happiness and the guidance that Christians get from Jesus Christ, sooner or later we're also going to have to suffer some of the same things Jesus Christ suffered for living the right way and loving the truth. It's going to bring persecution. It's going to bring rejection and insults. And people will make fun of you. It doesn't mean that you push yourself on them or that you push what you believe on anybody, but just living this way of life is going to create jealousy in some cases and resentment in other cases and snide remarks and gossip and backstabbing from other people and from other sources. Get ready for it. You study this subject of Christianity and being true Christians anywhere in the Bible, and you will see that sooner or later, people who live this way of life and who are true Christians suffer some of the same things that Christ suffered and that the apostles and the New Testament church suffered. And that's what Peter's saying here. Don't suffer from doing wrong things. If you're penalized for doing wrong things, that's the consequences of wrong actions. But if you suffer and if you incur harm and experience wrong treatment because you've done the right thing and you're trying to be a true Christian, and you're trying to go the way of true Christianity, don't let that get you down. Don't worry about that. Don't be bothered by that. Don't start backing off and quit being a Christian. Let that drive you forward so you can be a stronger Christian, because that comes with the territory of being a Christian. And that's what Peter is telling us right here in this passage. These three scriptures that we just went through are the only ones in the whole Bible that mention Christians by name. However, Christianity and true Christians are referred to throughout the New Testament in other words and in other terms and descriptions that are unmistakable in their meaning and in their intent. What you'll find as you study this subject, and as you answer the question, what is a true Christian, and as you look into the subject of true Christianity, you will find this, and the Bible makes it plain, and it's also logical and common sense. It's an old saying. A Christian is as a Christian does. A true Christian practices what they profess. That's true Christianity. Now, I want to go through three examples of what real Christians actually do. There are other points that we could add to this list, but we have time to go through three of the most important ones here in this program and to look at some of the scriptures that back up each one. So let's do that. Here are three examples of what true Christians do as they actually practice true Christianity. Number one, they follow Jesus Christ. They go where he goes, at the pace he goes there, in the attitude he goes there in terms of what he teaches out of his word. They follow him. They are followers of that way of life. They emulate and imitate him in attitude and words and in actions. That's what the Bible says. We're right here in 1 Peter, so let's stay there and go to chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. Look at what Peter says about following Jesus Christ as a true Christian. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps," follow his path, go the way he went, go the way he's leading us now. Verse 22, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth," deceit, that's what the word means. Verse 23, "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again." He didn't return the bad things. He returned good for evil. "When he suffered, he threatened not." Somebody wanted to beat him up, he didn't say, "Come on, I'll beat you up." He didn't do that. "But he committed himself to him that judges righteously." So there's a set of practices and principles and actions that we need to follow if we're going to follow Jesus Christ and follow in his footsteps. And true Christians will be following him as a way of life. Do we follow in his footsteps? Do you know other people who really follow him? Who really try to be like him? Who begin to think more the way he thinks and thought? If you know people like that, you're probably acquainted with people who are real Christians. Not just claiming to be, but who really are the genuine article and who are really living the right way of life. Here's a few questions that you can use as a little bit of a test to kind of evaluate and examine and take stock of your life or the lives of those that claim to be Christians. Maybe they are, but they might not be. Now, they could be very, very sincere, but sincerely wrong. We all have to be sincere, but we have to make sure we're right in terms of what God's Word says if we're going to be true Christians. There are ministers that are very sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. A real, true minister of God will be sincere and will be teaching the truth right from God's Word. And you can prove it with your own eyes as you open God's Word and check it out. And that's what you should do. We all should do that. Prove all things. Let's go here to another verse and read what Jesus Christ himself said followers of him should do. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Now, this is a tall order, and quite frankly, to fulfill that, we're going to have God's help, and he will give us that help. It's a very challenging and demanding way of life, but we can do it with his help, and the results are going to be magnificent in the long run and in the short run, but trouble will come. You can count on it, because it's such a different way of doing things than the way of the world and the way of Satan the devil. Notice here in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples," see, to his disciples, to true Christians, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." You might want to do something, but it's wrong, so you don't do that. "Let him deny himself and take up his cross," take up the way of life of Jesus Christ and the suffering he had on the stake, "and go forward anyway, and follow me." Follow me. Go where I go. Go where I went. Do what I do. Do what I did. Be the way I am. Imitate and emulate me. Follow me. Verse 25. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." That means you give up your former way of life and you embrace this new way of life, God's way, the way of Christianity. And so, yes, you might have to leave behind the way you used to be and what you used to have and how you used to do things and go a different way and be a new creature in Christ and follow a new and better path. You know what he says about that? Jesus Christ, our Savior, "Whosoever will lose his life for my sake," because of Christ and Christianity, "shall find it." So true Christians follow Jesus Christ and his teachings as their lifestyle, as their way of life. That's what true Christians practicing real Christianity do. That's the first point. The second point is they obey what Jesus Christ says. They obey him. Now you might say, "I'm doing that." Well, are we? Let's turn to Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Luke 6 and verse 46. True Christians will obey Jesus Christ. Now, I'm sure that you've been around people who talk about the Lord all the time, and do you know the Lord, and praise the Lord, and hallelujah, and Lord, Lord this, and Lord, Lord that. Did you know that's not enough? Words are not enough. Words are important. They do mean things. But actions must follow, or it's not the real thing. Isn't that what Jesus Christ says here? Just notice what he says in this very powerful passage right here in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. These are the words of Jesus Christ. He knows what true Christianity is. And here's what he says. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Oh, you praise me and you talk about me and you mention my name, but you will not obey me. You won't do what I tell you to do. You won't sacrifice like I say you must. You won't deny yourself. You won't change. And you won't follow a new way, the way of living. You want to keep on being the way you've always been, just as you are, and do what you've always done. And that is not going to get it. And that's what he's saying here. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. Verse 48. He's like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. What he means is it was founded upon the rock, Jesus Christ. And his life was anchored to Jesus Christ. And he did everything from that solid foundation. That's what the main point is in verse 48. Now notice verse 49. But he that hears and does not, they have all the platitudes, all the fancy cliches, all the nice sounding words, all of the soothing, comforting, spiritual utterances, but they don't do anything. Here's what Jesus Christ says. He that hears and does not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. He's talking about an individual that's all talk, but no do. It's all show and no go. It's words, 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 but no action. True Christians obey what Jesus Christ says. They are doers of his teachings. Notice an example of a few of his teachings to see what he meant by, you call me Lord, Lord, but you won't do what I say. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. This is a very important passage here. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do we actually seek God's kingdom and his righteousness first before goods and fame and comfort? A true Christian will do that. And that's what Jesus Christ said we are to do. We're to put him number one in what he teaches as the path that we follow. We seek his kingdom and we seek his righteousness above everything else. And then all our needs are going to be added unto us. And let's notice right here in chapter 7, a teaching that is a good test. How do we stack up in the face of this teaching of Jesus Christ? Remember, he says, you got to do what I say. You can't just call my name out. You got to do what I say. Look what he says here in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. Don't condemn people. Do you find yourself picking at other people, judging other people, talking about other people, criticizing and evaluating other people? We have to judge righteously. We must judge between right and wrong. That's true. But it's not our responsibility to be judgmental toward other people and their actions. And that's what Jesus Christ says here. You probably know people that gossip and that talk about others and that make fun of others and criticize others and cut other people down and pick and disparage and take apart other people. And they have no right to do so, and that's not Christian. And Jesus Christ said, you better not do that. And if you are doing it, that's not true Christianity. You may call me Lord, Lord, but you're not doing what I say. You're not obeying me. He says here, judge not that you be not judged, verse 2, Matthew 7. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in your brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in your own eye? Or how will you say to your brother, let me pull out the mote out of your eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye? You hypocrite. Verse 5, Matthew 7. First cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then shall you see clearly to cast out the mote out of your brother's eye. While you're all wound up about criticizing other people, take a look at yourself, Jesus Christ is saying, and see where you might be wrong and where you need to change and what you need to get rid of and how you need to overcome certain things. Do that first. And when you do that and you accomplish that, you're probably going to see a lot clearer about somebody else's faults. And you know what you're probably going to find? They don't have the faults you thought they had. The faults were all with you. That's what Jesus Christ is saying. Now, will we, as true Christians, practicing true Christianity, follow his teachings here? I hope so. But if we won't, we can't really call ourselves true Christians. We can have the label, but we're not practicing and living up to the outstanding category and name of Christian and Christianity. So, true Christians will obey what Jesus says. The third point is this. They are led by God's Holy Spirit. Not the spirit of this world, and not the human nature that we all have, but they are led by God's Holy Spirit. Let's notice here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. Romans 8 and verse 6 says, for to be carnally minded, minding of the flesh, physically minded, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, minding of spiritual things, focusing on the things that are from God that really count. Romans 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It just wants its own way. They're not led by God through his Holy Spirit. They're led by their own wants and desires. And so they go that way instead of going the way of Christianity. Verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh in terms of living that way, physically minded, cut off and apart from God and being spiritually minded. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So to be a true Christian, we must have God's Spirit in us and working with us and leading us. That's what the Bible says. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And drop down to verse 14 now of Romans 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are true Christians, practicing real Christianity. And when they have God's Spirit and they are led by God's Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit are going to show up in their lives. We can all grow in this matter. We don't need to be discouraged. We don't need to think, well, it's just out of reach. I can never do that. I'm not good enough to be that way. No, when God calls you to his way of life, he wants you to follow what he says, and he wants me to as well. And as we follow what he says, as we follow Jesus Christ, and we obey Jesus Christ, and as we are led by God's Spirit, that, and there are other things we could add to that, but fundamentally, that constitutes true Christianity. And that means that we actually are true real practicing Christians. We're not perfect. We've got to change. We've got to overcome. We've got to grow in grace and knowledge. We've got to develop more gentleness, more kindness, more love for our fellow man, and more love and tremendous worship of God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. We progress day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year with his help. But we're going in the right direction, and we're trying to do the right thing. And we're clothed in humility and trying to become more and more of the right kind of example of living life God's way. That's true Christianity, and that's being a genuine Christian. So as you can see, when you really get down into the details and into the specifics of this subject of Christianity and being a Christian, there's more to it than just a label. There's more to it than just a name. You hear about people who say they're Christians and they're fighting and killing and maiming and creating all kind of havoc and anarchy, and yet they say, well, we are Christians. Well, how can you reconcile that with what the Bible says about being a true Christian? You may know people who sit in church and then during the week do awful things and say terrible things, cuss and swear, and treat other people badly, and then they show up and sit in church once a week, calling themselves Christian. Well, that's just using the name. But that's not really practicing Christianity. That's not really a true Christian. A true Christian lives life a certain way, God's way. And a true Christian bears the fruit of God's Spirit in his life. You can tell by how they react to stress, how they react to situations and circumstances. You can tell that when they are in a jam, they handle that in a way that is godly, not in a way that is worldly. When they don't get their way, they don't pitch a hissy fit. They're patient. When somebody treats them badly, they don't return that kind of treatment to the individual, but they will return good actions to the person who did bad things to them. And Jesus Christ promises to help us out at all times, and he promises to be with us throughout the journey of being a Christian and living the Christian way of life. He promises that. Let's read it over here in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. See, one of the great examples of God's love and the love Jesus Christ has for us is this. They won't ask us to do something that we can't do without their help. When Jesus Christ tells us that we must do something, he knows that with his help we can do it, and his help's always going to be there. So we have no excuse. With his help, we need to go do that. That's what a true Christian will do. And he promises he will not let us down. He will not leave us twisting in the wind. He will be right there with us all the way to help us do what he says we should do. We can embark on this magnificent, challenging, thrilling, fulfilling, wonderful journey of Christianity and succeed and get all the way to the objective that's out there with God's help, with Jesus Christ giving us the help. And he will. He promises to. He doesn't leave us alone. He's there with us. Let's read it right here in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. God's word says this, "Let your conversation or your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have." Be thankful, be happy, and appreciate what you have instead of wanting what you don't have, is what he's saying. "For he hath said this." God and Jesus Christ say this, and Jesus Christ promises this. Look at Hebrews 13, verse 5. "I will never leave you nor forsake you." I will never leave you. I will never betray you, turn my back on you, cut your legs out from under you, and walk away from you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6, "so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me or can do unto me." We would like to send you our free magazine, Straightforward. It's filled with articles about Christian living, and it gets into details on that subject. Happy family life, world news and prophecy, and much, much more. There's no cost or obligation to you for this magazine. The number to call to request Straightforward is 1-800-581-1317. Also, we'll send you our free CD on the subject of law and grace. Just call and request our free material at 1-800-581-1317. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.